Question one on the exam. You had four different functional groups. And yes, I made a typo in one of them. I put hydrazine, but had meant to put hydrazone. So hydrazine is the molecule NH2NH2. And so if you put that as an answer, that was correct. What I'd meant to put was hydrazone, and if that's what you read, and that's how you answered it, well, that was also counted as correct. The other three functional groups, oxime, cyanohydrin, and carbinolamine, I managed to spell correctly, and I'll let you just look those functional groups up in your notes, but I wanted to comment on 1A, why there may be multiple right answers. Now, question two. Question two was about imines and enamines. And the first part of the question asks you to write a mechanism for the formation of an imine from cyclohexanone and a primary amine of your choice. So let's do that first. For both sections, you know that you have this kinetics versus thermodynamics question that's going to be on your lab quiz. And although I might not have explicitly covered it in lab lecture, the mechanism for forming those semicarbazides is identical to the mechanism I'm about to show you. Instead of an alkyl group, which is what we'll have in the case of a primary amine, imagine that we had that NH carbonyl NH2 unit that was part of the semicarbazide. Other than the structural difference of the reagent, the mechanism is identical. This is one of those mechanisms that it is acceptable to show nitrogen attacking the carbonyl first. Now, if you have water as a nucleophile, that would not be appropriate because water is not basic. Well, technically it's amphoteric, but it's not a strong base at all. Nitrogen is actively somewhat more basic, which is why it's justifiable doing the mechanism in this way. So all the other PODE-style mechanisms, proteinopin attack the protonate mechanisms, where we saw those in the formation of a cyanohydrin, in formation of hydrates, acetals, ketals, hemiacetals, hemiketals, all those other mechanisms, the carbonyl gets protonated first. Here, we can show the attack first, and although I won't ask this question, I'll remind us that the optimum pH level is pH 5, because too acidic, and you would just protonate the amine. So, that's the first step. Now, I suppose it may be theoretically possible for the oxygen to grab a hydrogen off of the positively charged nitrogen right next door. But that would equivalently be a four-membered ring, which those aren't impossible formations. Borane goes through a four-center transition state, for example, when it reacts. But it's probably more likely that the ammonium portion of this will just simply lose a proton, and then the alkoxide of it will gain a proton from somewhere. If you do show these as different events, you can't show them simultaneously, because if the oxygen does not grab the hydrogen from right next door, it's unlikely that two different processes, the dissociation and the bond formation, would happen exactly simultaneously. Doesn't really matter which one you show happening first, although since the oxygen is more basic than the ammonium is acidic, I'll show this getting protonated first. And then the nitrogen becoming deprotonated. This is, in fact, a carbinolamine, because it's halfway towards making an imine. To continue, the oxygen would get protonated again. Making water. Which, the way most of you probably wrote this, next part, is to have water leave and then have nitrogen donate its lone pair over in the form of resonance. But recognize that resonance structures are just two ways of writing the same molecule. So a couple of you did the following, where you showed the nitrogen lone pair moving over and water leaving simultaneously. Because the nitrogen lone pair moving over is just resonance, this is an acceptable way to write a slightly more compact mechanism. So I've done the open and attack in one step. Which once I have done that, the last step is for nitrogen to be deprotonated. So that's the mechanism for imine formation, but it's identical to the mechanism for oximes, hydrazones, and semicarbazones. It's questions on the mechanism. Then part two of that same problem was asking me to use the mechanism to explain why an imine like this cannot be formed from a secondary amine. I was very liberal in the answers I accepted because some of you said things almost as simple as, well, there's not enough hydrogens. Where? What part of the molecule? What part of the mechanism? You're right. You're right because if you notice, a primary amine has two hydrogens on the nitrogen. One of those hydrogens comes off after the addition of the amine to the carbonyl, and the other hydrogen comes off at the end step here in order to relieve that positive charge and make a neutral molecule. If you have a secondary amine, you only have one hydrogen, which would be able to protonate to make the carbonylamine, but you wouldn't be able to do the second deprotonation to isolate a neutral, doubly bound nitrogen. So it just doesn't happen. That's the real answer. So just be careful on a future exam or final that if you have one of these explain answers, that not that you give me the whole 20 paragraphs, that's the wrong way to approach it as well, but that you, if you say there's not enough hydrogens, at least say where and when in the mechanism. Third part of the question, though, was fairly short. It was asking you to draw an enamine made from a primary amine and to show its tautomerization. So let me show you that one. I'll use the same amine, and so, oops, one more hydrogen. This is a tautomer of what I had already drawn, so in fact, this same, because I used the same amine at the end of the second mechanism, I'm going to have the same imine. So the mechanism is for the double bond to attack hydrogen. The lone pair can delocalize. This time I'm showing it as separate steps, only because that's probably how most of you had done it. And then just like up above, since we've now formed a positively charged nitrogen, it deprotonates to become neutral. Questions about that mechanism. Then let's jump onto the other mechanisms, because that's the next problem, the mechanism problem. The first one involved the hydrazone of butanol reacting with sodium hydroxide and heat. This is the Wolff-Kishner reduction. So it's initiated by the amine portion of the hydrazone being deprotonated, which in fact initiates a tautomerization. Because once you deprotonate, you have a delocalized ion, which we could show, therefore, ending up with a negative charge on carbon instead of nitrogen. And since we had hydroxide as a reagent, we could show this now attacking water, which is a key point in this mechanism. There is no H+ in solution if we have hydroxide. So to show the protonation here, you must show water being attacked. Oops. Single bond. Now we have a similar process again, where again hydroxide deprotonates from the nitrogen. Only this time, delocalization is not possible because there's no double, there's no place for the electrons to go. And in fact, though, if the electrons did try to move over, what ends up happening is nitrogen gas is kicked out as a result. That makes a carbanion that's enormously basic, so it will instantly get neutralized with water to become butane. Questions on that mechanism? Then moving on to the last mechanism problem. This was a hydroxyketone that reacted first with tosic acid and DHP. Which I'm still seeing mistakes as far as what the role of tosic acid is. Which section 3 seemed to be quite aware of tosic acid's properties, since that showed up on the birthday cake that they got. Even I, as a chemist, kind of looked at that, wow, tosic acid on a birthday cake. Now, that's geeky but cool. Tosic acid, what is the whole point of it? Why did they think that it deserved enough love to be put on a birthday cake because I had talked about it enough? Because once it dissociates, once the acid part of it is consumed, the leftover, the tosylate ion, is not nucleophilic. It does not want to react with things. So any of you that have tosylate involved in the mechanism at all are missing the point of what tosic acid is for. It is there because it only serves to give H+. The only way, in fact, you can get tosylate active in a reaction is if you make a tosylate using tosyl chloride. But that's a different process that wasn't involved in this question. So tosylate here will do nothing. It's just an acid source. And in fact, what happens with that acid source is the alkene from DHP reacts. You make a carbocation that's somewhat supported by that oxygen lone pair next door, which some of you showed the resonance. Didn't have to, but you do need to show that the oxygen from the hydroxyketone attacks next. This is, of course, the process of forming a THP ether, which is one of our protecting groups. And after that attack of the oxygen, we have a deprotonation, which will get us THP. Or get us the THP ether. This was only the first of three reagents that you were shown. The second reagent was methyl magnesium bromide. So a Grignard reaction happens next. The shorthand way for writing that I had suggested in lecture was to go ahead and write the full structure of methyl magnesium bromide or whatever Grignard reagent you have, and then show the bond from that attacking the carbonyl. It would be understood by a chemist that it's the carbon that's going to react, not the magnesium. And that will force the carbonyl open. We have another methyl group, and we have an alkoxide. And at this point, you're shown acid, water, and heat. So there was only one intended answer here, but some of you saw the heat part of it and thought, oh, he's trying to pull a quick trick question. And so whatever product I get, he's expecting me to react again. No, I wasn't actually in this case. It wasn't going for a trick question. So I'm only going to answer the question or show the answer up through the expected product. I think in almost all the cases, if you had gone extra, I just ignored it, I believe. So first thing that's going to happen in acid is that this alcohol is going to get protonated, or alkoxide is going to get protonated to make an alcohol. Then, since there's still acid and water around, those are the conditions for decomposing a THP ether to release that protecting group. And it's, from the perspective of the target molecule, not even a complete cycle of protonate open attack the protonate. Because oxygen gets protonated. Which then allows that core part of the product to leave the THP ring. But the question did ask for you to show what happens with any byproducts formed. So you needed to show what happened after this part. So we make our product, which is a diol. Plus, we now have the rest of the THP ring that we need to show its decomposition. The way it works is water would attack at this point. Oops. Ooh. It's such a nice projector. I don't want to ruin it. You didn't see that. I was never here. Hey, if it's not on Facebook, it doesn't exist, right?
That is true.
And once it's on Facebook, it never goes away. So water then deprotonates once it attacks. And then there's one more round of protonate, open attack, deprotonate. The ring oxygen gets protonated, which in theory means the ring could open two ways, but there's only one way that makes sense, because there's only one way that generates a carbocation that would be supported by resonance, and that's for the ring to open in this way, leaving a plus charge right next to the OH group. Bing. Which the whole point of that being the more favorable route is because we can have resonance, which will make a carbonyl. An initially protonated carbonyl. Which upon deprotonation leaves us with this omega hydroxyaldehyde. Don't know if I've commented on that term omega, which we'll get that next quarter. But relative to a carbonyl, there's a common nomenclature system where you can name the position right next door alpha and the next one beta. Gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, z, omicron, po, you know, down the list. The point of that, yes, I earned my geek badge, you know. The last letter of the Greek alphabet, though, is omega. So if you have the end of a molecule that you want to refer to, instead of counting how many positions, you can just say it's omega substituted, the end of the molecule. So this is omega hydroxyaldehyde. We are out of time, so we'll finish covering the answers to this exam on Friday. Our grand review for the final will be on Monday. So we will also, even if I don't have them graded yet, go over the answers to exam 3 on Friday. So you can at least have that to study over the weekend.